Hello everybody, and today I'm going to be talking about my trip to Orlando, Florida and the fake Los Angeles parks, I guess, I visited while I was there. I was there last week and I went for like 3 days, and the main reason I wanted to go is because I wanted to go to Universal Studios and Hollywood Studios because they have a lot of recreations of old Los Angeles landmarks, and I thought it would be fun to go and take photos and maybe compare it to what Los Angeles had and how they recreated it. So this whole episode is sort of going to be about that. If you like theme parks, you will enjoy it, hopefully. If you like Los Angeles, you will probably enjoy it. If you like architecture, you will enjoy it. I'm just trying to say everyone will enjoy it, so keep listening. Okay, where do I begin? So I was there for 3 days and I stayed at Cabana Bay Resort, and it was beautiful. It's a mid-century themed hotel, and it's part of Universal Studios Orlando Resort. So I took a red eye and I flew to Orlando, and I checked into my hotel, and the entire hotel is based off 1950s/60s theming. They had a cute little neon sign outside, and on the neon sign it says like Cabana Bay, and then there's a little sign that says color TV and cold air, and there's like a huge neon sign and it says Cabana Bay Beach Resort, color TV, all that good stuff. And they have classic cars parked outside. And this is my first time staying at the hotel. Last time I was in Florida, I just visited it and I was like, oh my goodness, I need to stay here next time I come. So that's what I did. I haven't been to the theme parks in Orlando in like over 2 years. So I was like, okay, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to the parks. I wanted to go to Lakeland, Florida, but I didn't have enough time because I was only there for a couple days. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go to the parks and go crazy and like take photos of everything I wanna take photos of here and just like freak out and have a good time. So I'm at the hotel and I check in, and the lobby is amazing. There's palm trees. They even have a bar in the lobby and it's called the Swizzle Lounge. How good is that? Swizzle, like swizzle sticks. And there's a neon sign on the wall that says Swizzle Lounge. You check in and they have like retro luggages just like stacked on top of each other. All the signage, typography, all the photos in the hotel is all very mid-century. It's very, very well done. I was very impressed. And then once you're in the lobby, you walk past the gift shop, and above the gift shop, I think it says like Universal Gift Shop, but it's not like the typical Universal Studios logo. They actually like designed the lettering and stuff to match the whole theme of the hotel. Like every aspect of this hotel is very well done. Like nothing clashes with each other in terms of like the different rooms and like offerings they have. Everything worked together. Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff. I'm thinking about everything. So you like go through the gift shop. Well, if you go inside the gift shop, oh my gosh. The gift shop has window displays, and even the window displays are like retro vintage themed. Like the mannequins are wearing like retro apparel. It was really cute. And there's like old photographs of, well, it's not necessarily old photographs, it's photographs of the hotel, but they made it look like old and vintage. So when you walk into the gift shop, they have like cutouts that says like, I don't really remember what it says, I have photos, but it probably said like gifts or shop. And it was cut out on like foam board, and it was a little stand. And I was like, this is very merch motel. Like I was getting that vibe because that's like the material and how I like to make my little pop-ups look. When I go to conventions or shows, I have like little displays that I make. So it was really cute to see it because like, I don't know, it just got me excited. So when you're in the gift shop and you look on top, they have like shelving with displays on it, and it's more retro luggages and memorabilia displayed throughout the store. And it's cool because they had like exclusive items to the hotel, so it was very like retro themed, and like the rest of the stuff was just like the typical like merch you would see at like theme parks, you know. And then you have the food court, and you go inside the food court and there's like different offerings. There's even cool, fun, like neon signs within the food court. Like it says pizza, but it's a retro sign and it's actually real neon. I was very impressed by everything, honestly. And then when you get your food, you go to like the cafeteria area to eat, and it's all retro themed, and they play old vintage commercials on the television. They played like old commercials of like toys or classic cars. It was really beautiful the way they did everything. And like every time I would go to the parks like in the morning, and every time I'd come back to the hotel at night, I was so excited to be back inside the hotel. And because I would get back to the hotel really late at night, there wouldn't be a lot of people inside, so I would take a lot of photos, and it was nice to see it all empty because you can really like admire the furniture and things, you know. They also had like another lounge area. It was huge, it was massive. Like there was so many areas you can just sit and chill, but they had another lounge area, and they would just play like old cartoons like Betty Boop or Felix the Cat. And then they had the little telephone station where you can make phone calls, was like vintage telephones that you can actually use. Every inch of this place was thought out really well. Like, wow. So then you go and there's like a Starbucks, but then you can walk upstairs and there's a retro bowling alley, and it's called Galaxy Bowl. And it's like there's a real animated neon sign outside of the entrance of the bowling alley, and you go inside and it's all retro. There's like boomerang style like I don't even know how to describe it, props hanging from the ceiling, and then you can order food there too, and then you can bowl. And right outside of the bowling alley there is like a window display with like vintage memorabilia as well as like retro merch that they sell. Oh my gosh, it was all so well done. I was so impressed. Like I'm gonna say that every 2 seconds, but I was very impressed. There was another room, I'm not sure what it was. I think it's a like recreation area, maybe it was a gym, I can't remember, but I didn't go inside. And there was a neon sign outside of that. And then you can like stand and like overlook, because you're upstairs, you can like overlook the cafeteria and like another lounge area. And it's all so cute and retro. Also, all the furniture was very like mid-century furniture. It was all so beautiful. Like the clocks, everything. Oh my God. I'm going to post a lot of photos on my main account and my podcast account. And if you're like in the back section of the hotel, there's like an outdoor section with a pool and stuff. There's nice little lounge chairs there. And then everything again is like mid-century, and like the different buildings are called like Thunderbird, or I can't even remember the rest, but they had like really lovely names that work with the theming of it all. Again, wow. Mm-hmm. They had breeze blocks outside, and when you walk into your hotel room, there's just like all these old retro advertisements advertising like the hotel and the parks and stuff, but it's all done in a retro stylization. You walk into the room and there's sort of like more breeze block elements, or like 1960s wall design patterns. I don't know what the right word to describe it is, but it's like walls with like 1960s detailing. The carpet, everything was cute, cute, cute. So in the bedroom too, like the bed sheets and all the little elements across the room are inspired by mid-century design. So everything was really cute. The colors, the like furniture, everything was very spot on. So I met up with my friends. We went to Magic Kingdom first, and I was just like, I just want to see the castle and ride the people mover and like leave, because I was there for such a short time and I wanted to mainly document Los Angeles inspired like buildings and stuff that they recreated at the parks. So I took a photo of Cinderella Castle, rode the people mover. I wanted to ride Carousel of Progress, but I was like, I'll do that next time. And we left the park. And then we went to Hollywood Studios, and I made reservations for the Brown Derby. So I was with my friends Brooke and Katie, and if you know them, you can ask them. Like I was just like bugging out. Does that make sense? I was honestly I couldn't even talk when I was with them. I was like, oh my God, it was my first time eating there. So okay, something that was really cool was people who follow me for a lot of like old Los Angeles stuff, many people didn't know that there was like a Brown Derby recreation in the Walt Disney World theme park. So when I posted I was eating there, I got so many people asking like, what is this? Where is this? How is this possible? And I'm like, oh yeah, like if you don't know that they recreated this, I would be so confused. And like, I don't think I even said I was at Walt Disney World. I just said like, oh, I'm eating at the Brown Derby, and it's like straight up a recreation of like the one in Hollywood. So yeah, okay. So, and it's cool too, because some people who are fans of like the theme parks in Florida may not know a lot of like the historical references that were created there. So it was fun to see people message me from both perspectives. Like people from California and people from Florida were messaging me like, oh, whoa, I didn't know this was there, and I didn't know this was the reason this was there. So it was fun to like geek out with a bunch of different people about it. So the Brown Derby, we went to Hollywood Studios and we got reservations for the Brown Derby, and I was ecstatic. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Brown Derby. The first ever Brown Derby restaurant opened on Wilshire Boulevard in 1926, and that building was shaped like a derby hat. The reason why is because it was trying to catch the eyes of people driving by. This plays into California crazy architecture, which I'm going to get more into, because Hollywood Studios has another reference to that, but it's also known as programmatic architecture, which I talked about in my previous episode, where it's like everyday objects or just objects or people or things are made on a massive scale to attract people to come in, because more and more people were driving cars in that era. So it was like, as you're driving, you see something, you pull over, you're like, I want to check it out. So there was the original Brown Derby. I'm going to tell you a little bit of history about this one first, and then like you'll whatever. So the first ever Brown Derby opened in 1926 in Wilshire Boulevard. This one was shaped like a hat. The original one was small and had acoustic problems, so sounds from one end of the building would be heard from the other end of the building because of the shape of the hat, because you're inside and it's like a dome shape, it's curved, so when you're sitting on one side and you're like gossiping it would travel through like the curve of the building and people on the other side would hear. Also, a scene in I Love Lucy when she like comes to LA is filmed at the real Brown Derby. So lots of history at this restaurant, and I believe it was filmed at the location that was in Hollywood. In 1936, the original Brown Derby, the one that was shaped like a hat, was demolished to expand the Chapman Park Hotel and bungalows. But the restaurant moved and built an even bigger hat-shaped building within the same year. And they only moved about a block from their original location. And at one point, there was even two Brown Derby hats on Wilshire Boulevard, since the first one wasn't demolished yet and the second was being built. So pretty much the Brown Derby restaurant looked like a hat, And it got demolished for like some expansion of a hotel in the 30s. And they're like, okay, you know what? We're going to make an even bigger hat restaurant and we're going to go right down the block. And it was right next to the Gaylord Apartments. I actually visited those apartments a couple days ago. Some man like started yelling at me. He didn't work there or anything. He just started screaming at me. He was like, you can't be here. That's a whole other story, but okay. So, and then the original Brown Derby closed in 1980 without warning, and preservationists tried to like stop developers from demolishing it. But you know, developers like don't care about anything. But luckily they were able to convince the developers to like sort of save the hat, but it's really like depressing it when you see it. So what they did is like just the hat slash dome portion of the building, they moved it and they destroyed everything else, like the rest of the restaurant. But like they built a really, 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 really ugly shopping plaza that, like, at the location of the Brown Derby. Oh man, it's like the ugliest thing in the world. But they built that. That's like what's there now. And like the Brown Derby dome is just like sitting on the third floor of the plaza. It looks so sad. Oh my gosh. Welcome to Los Angeles, baby. Okay, where was I going with this? There was a couple locations in Los Angeles. The other one was in Hollywood, and that one was like really well known with famous people because it was near the studios and stuff, so a lot of celebrities would go, and it was just like classic beautiful old Hollywood Los Angeles. But again, just like all the beautiful historic places here, people just demolish it without like thinking twice about it. It's insane to me. You're gonna hear me like be complaining this whole episode, but whatever. Okay, so I never got to experience the real Brown Derby, so when I went to Hollywood Studios, I was like, I gotta eat here. Obviously it's like in a theme park, it's not real, but I like to just like pretend I time traveled and I'm in that location because so Disney pretty much recreated the Hollywood location. Like the exterior and interior is pretty much inspired by it. So we walked in and I couldn't breathe. So outside they have like the Brown Derby hat neon sign recreated, and they have two neon signs recreated. And the Museum of Neon Art, I always talk about them, but they actually have the original Brown Derby neon sign that was on Wilshire Boulevard restored. Okay, so when you walk into the Brown Derby in Hollywood Studios, you walk in and they even have like all the caricatures on the walls and stuff. It's really cool because the original location had like illustrations and caricatures of celebrities at the time all over the walls. And the Cobb salad was actually invented at the Brown Derby. So if you go to the Hollywood Studios location, you can actually like order the Cobb salad too. So pretty awesome. So they had photos of like the old Brown Derby location, and it was cool because like if you're not too familiar with it, you can see these historic photos and then you'll be like, wow, they did a really good job recreating this place. It's also interesting because I'm like, yeah, I wonder how many people come here or eat here or walk by it and like they don't know it's in reference to like a very historic place in Los Angeles that no longer exists. And I just wanted to take photos of like all the dining tables and stuff, but people are eating, so I'm like, yeah, that's sort of weird if I just like stand there taking photos of like all the tables. So I didn't really do that, but we ordered food. It was excellent, and I was just so happy and excited the whole time. We got some drinks, some food, and I was sitting there and my friends kept asking me if I was okay because I was just like, wow. I was just being very dramatic, but you know, I love Los Angeles, so it is what it is. And I'll probably talk about this again later, but during my time in Orlando theme parks, you know, they have recreated a lot of Los Angeles. And towards the end, like at one point I was just alone like taking photos, and I got like very sad because I was like, you literally have to fly across the country, enter a theme park to sort of experience what Los Angeles could have been, even though it's like a fake reality of Los Angeles. You know, if our city actually cared and actually tried to save and restore all these beautiful places, like our city would be so much more beautiful. Okay, back to Hollywood Studios. So what's really great about Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World, and that's where the Brown Derby was, they recreated a lot of historical buildings and neon signs. So the Academy Theater is a beautiful theater in Inglewood, and they actually recreated the facade of it. So like some of the stuff, they changed the names, but the architectural style is very heavily inspired by the real historic places in Los Angeles. So the Academy Theater, they recreated it and they called it Legends of Hollywood. And like, it has like this tower with this like spiral design over it, and it's incredible. And it says Academy on it, but the one in Hollywood Studios says Legends for Legends of Hollywood. They made it out of real neon. It looks really great. And it was cool because Hollywood Studios and Universal Studios both recreated Los Angeles, and both of them referenced like the same places that were in LA. And it was interesting to see how they both recreated it. So what was really fun is like every inch of like the Los Angeles themed areas in Hollywood Studios just had so much references to like old architecture and design elements. So it was really fun. Like I would just go and walk around, look at every inch like of the facades, and it was really, really just like, I just really enjoyed it. And that's like already what I do in like real Los Angeles, and it's like real historic, authentic places. I understand that this is just a facade that was created, but that's so fun to me. Like the concept of even like set design, theme park design, I love it so much. I love window displays, all of those stuff. So it's really cool that they actually tied it back to like one of my favorite places, which is Los Angeles. They have a recreation of the Carthay Circle Theater. And what I loved is that they had those like old stoplights. I don't know what the proper term for it is. And it would like make a little sound, and then it would say like stop and then go. It's wonderful. So even walking up to the Tower of Terror, there are these stone-like structures that are built there. And those are actually referencing the real stone gates that were in Hollywood. These gates were built at the time when Hollywood was called Hollywood Land, and it was the stone gates of Hollywood Land, and they're still here today. It's crazy because I didn't really like do a lot of research of like the references to Los Angeles. I was just like, I'm gonna go and see like what I can point out and see, because I'll get too overwhelmed. So there was even like a little section that says California US Route 66, like it was a sign of the Route 66 logo, and underneath it was some luggages that were placed, and behind it was this like art deco type of building. And I took a photo of it because I was like, this is really cute, I wonder what this building is from. I didn't think much of it and I walked away. But I went back like the next day, and we were walking by the building at a different angle, so I was looking at the building from more of like a side view, and I stopped my friends. I was like, oh my god, you guys. And they're like, what? And I'm like, that's a building in Pasadena. I've taken photos of this building in Pasadena. How crazy that they replicated it here. And it's not like a super famous building or anything, but it's right now it's a public storage, and it's on historic Route 66 in Pasadena, California. And I love that building. What I do a lot is I take photos of buildings, and I do then and now references from what it looked like back then to what it looks like today. So I have a series on those, and this was one of the buildings that I did. Today it's a public storage, but back in the day it was an ice skating arena. It's so lovely, and I'm glad that the building is still here. For years I didn't know that was like a historic building until one day I was doing research and I was like, whoa, this looks so familiar, this, that, and then I learned more about it. And when I was at Hollywood Studios, I saw it. I was like, whoa, this building, like, I wouldn't think that people would think it's so significant, but I was so happy to see it because I was like, oh, Pasadena, so cute. So they also had a replica of the Max Factor building in Hollywood. Universal Studios had a replica as well, so it was fun to see both of the versions. This Max Factor building in Hollywood is now divided into two separate businesses. One of them is the Hollywood Museum, and the other one is Mel's Drive-In. Of course, the icon of the park was the Chinese Theater that we still fortunately have today. It's so funny seeing it because we still have it today, and you know, Hollywood Studios is supposed to like sort of represent Los Angeles in its prime, and it's a very like nice cleaned up version of what LA is today. So whenever I go to Hollywood and see the Chinese Theater, and then I'm like, how funny, because it's more, you know, not as touched up as it is in Hollywood Studios. It's sort of trippy to see the one in Hollywood Studios because I'm so used to the one in Los Angeles. And like when I see it and compare it, I'm like, oh my god, every time I'm in Los Angeles, I think of the Hollywood Studios one. And when I'm in Hollywood Studios, I think of the Los Angeles one. Yeah, if you've seen both, it's interesting to like compare, and like, I don't know, it trips me out. But right now that building in the park is, it has a ride inside. And it's the Mickey and Minnie Runaway Railroad, Runaway Railway, right? Sorry, I don't know the name. But the sign, they have a neon sign that they created that is installed on the Chinese Theater facade. And that sign is actually inspired by a real sign that was in front of the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. I remember when they created the sign, and when, because the ride is fairly new, but when they created the sign and I saw photos of it, I was like, this looks really familiar. And then I did some research and I was like, yeah. And it was the CinemaScope sign that was installed in Hollywood in front of the Chinese Theater. Okay, and then there's Gertie the Dinosaur. And it's interesting because I was posting about it and a lot of people messaged me and told me that like, oh, they didn't really understand the backstory of it. It was just like a cute giant dinosaur in Hollywood Studios. But Gertie is, so they have an ice cream shop, and like the building of the ice cream shop is a giant dinosaur. It's really cool, and it's on like a body of water too. Okay, so the ice cream shop is called Dinosaur Gertie's Ice Cream of Extinction. Yeah. Okay, before I forget, right next to the dinosaur, there is these lamps, these street lights, And there's a few of them throughout the park. And they're the same exact streetlights that are actually in my neighborhood. So seeing it, I got excited. I'm like, these are literally the streetlights in my neighborhood. Like, are these a little nerd out moment? And I love those streetlights. Like, so the dinosaur ice cream shop is based off an animated short film called Gertie the Dinosaur, which I didn't know at first. And it was the first animated film to feature a dinosaur, and it was released in 1914. The ice cream shop is meant to represent California crazy architecture, also known as programmatic architecture. Like I said earlier, this style of architecture was very popular in Los Angeles in the 1930s because people drove cars and structures became more unique to attract those driving by. So the film it's based off, Gertie the Dinosaur actually goes and eats a whole tree, and she starts dancing. It's really cute. But that's why the dinosaur in the park has like some, like a tree branch in her mouth. And it's based off the cartoon. Isn't that amazing? I feel like the majority of people, including me, like don't know that this is based off a short film from 1914. And it's in reference to programmatic architecture as well. So then they also have 50s Primetime Cafe, which I love. And inside of it is sort of like a house, like a 1950s home. And you eat inside of the home. It's really cute. We didn't eat there, but I walked in and took photos. I kept walking into like every restaurant and I would go up to the cast members. They were so nice. And I was just like, can I please take photos? Like, it's so cute. And they're like, of course. Because I don't want to just like walk in and take photos and like get up in everyone's business, you know? So right when you enter the Park of Hollywood Studios, you will see Crossroads of the World. And a lot of people didn't know that it was based off a real structure in Los Angeles. And that's a structure I've talked about before that looks like a boat. And it was like a shopping plaza. It was said to be the first outdoor shopping mall in America. And it was built in the 1930s. And Disney recreated the front portion of it. So it's not the whole boat. It's just like the front section. And Mickey Mouse is on top of this one. The one in Los Angeles obviously doesn't have Mickey Mouse, but the globe spins. And I saw it, I was like, this is really cute. And they had the neon lit. So really lovely to see. I really loved how it was laid out. You like walk past Crossroads and it's all these historic buildings. And the Chinese Theater is like in the back. Like that's what you see. And I took a photo of one of the sides of the buildings because there was all this like detailing on it. And I was like, this looks like the Above the Frolic Room in Los Angeles, which is a, it's a bar in Hollywood. There's like all this like really beautiful detailing. And like, and this same type of pattern was on one of the buildings here. I was like, oh, I wonder if it's inspired by that. But it was really fun to like just walk by and like the little stop lights would turn green and all these cute sounds would happen. And like, it's just like old LA. I was very just like emotional because I was like, this is what we could have had in real Los Angeles. So there's a beautiful, beautiful Art Deco building on Wilshire Boulevard. Wilshire Boulevard, also known as like that portion of it, is also known as Miracle Mile. It was built to, I think it was built to like sort of compete with downtown Los Angeles. There was they wanted to attract a lot of businesses there, and it was built more around the car, which is so sort of ironic, I guess, because there's so much traffic there now. But I, if I'm not mistaken, I think like the left only lane was first introduced on Miracle Mile. I might be wrong, but the buildings there were meant to be beautiful, so lots of Art Deco architecture. A lot of it got demolished. Shocking? I don't think so. It's Los Angeles, baby. They tend to not care about destroying their own history. It's really frustrating, but they had a lot of beautiful Art Deco buildings. There's this one incredible building that's still there today, and they sort of recreated that facade at Hollywood Studios too. So it was just really fun for someone who's really like nerdy when it comes to like Los Angeles history and architecture. It's just fun to see it in a different way at a theme park, you know? And it's interesting too, because a lot of the people walking by like probably don't know exactly what it's referencing. So I'm like, it's cute that it's there. And I'm just and I was just there taking photos like everything. And it's funny because like a lot of times I'm just like staring at a building for like 10 minutes and like taking a million photos of it on my phone, and people would like walk by and be like, what are you doing? Even the Pluto's Toy Palace like neon sign, there's an animated neon sign of Pluto on top of it, and I was like, I'm not too sure exactly what this is from. And then I did some research and I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. It was based off a real store in Hollywood and there was a dog on top of it. And they sort of did like a Disney version of it with Pluto. So the dark room, now let's get into that. So the dark room was a camera shop that was on Miracle Mile, again, Wilshire Boulevard. And it was a giant camera, again, programmatic architecture. So the facade of it was a giant camera, and it was built in like the 20s or 30s. There was like a neon sign on top. It was incredible. So it's not a camera shop anymore. The facade, the camera itself, the oversized camera, is declared a historic cultural monument. Thank God. So that means people, like a business, can't move in and like demolish it or destroy it. Pig and whistle. So I'm very grateful for that, because you never know. People will just like move into a business and be like, I'm gonna destroy this, because they just don't care and are uneducated on like architectural design and importance of preservation. So luckily that facade is protected, but like the darkroom signage isn't there, but the lovely Museum of Neon Art saved it when it was removed. Anyway, I really love that camera shop and it's a restaurant now, but Hollywood Studios sort of replicated it, and so did Universal Studios. The one at Hollywood Studios is a gift shop, and the exterior was fun because it was like a corner shop, I guess. So the corner of that portion of that building was all like darkroom themed. So they had like window displays too, and it said the darkroom, and there was like old cameras and stuff. Anyway, I was with my friends at the park, and like we would hang out, and then sometimes I would just be like, guys, I need to run away, and they would be like, okay, and they would like sit on the bench and talk. I would run away and take all my photos and then come back. Brooke and Katie, if you're listening, thank you for dealing with that. I would text them like, I'm gonna cry, oh my gosh, this building is this is that, and they like don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just like screaming. Okay. So then they had like a dine-in, drive-in type of restaurant too that was really great. You like sit in like a classic car, but it's a booth, and you can like eat food, and then they play like horror films, I think, on screen, like old films. I didn't eat there, so I don't really know exactly, but like I went inside really quick. The trash cans like placed around the park. We went to like this one area to like sit down and grab a couple drinks, and there was a trash can next to our table, and the little like sticker on the trash can, it says like, please help keep our city clean, and it's an illustration of Los Angeles City Hall. I was like, oh my god. So I took a photo of that, and right next to that was there was like a lamp, and I guess the base of the lamp looked like it was made of like concrete, cement, I don't know, but it was like the base. You can tell that the design of that is also based off Los Angeles City Hall. And then we rode the Mickey and Minnie ride, and like I want to take some photos of the neon sign, but like a show was happening, and so the sign was like off, and we were about to leave, and I was like, I need photos of the sign. So we waited till the show ended and I took photos. The main entrance of the park is inspired by the Pan Pacific Auditorium. What's really trippy is like when they started building that entrance, the Pan Pacific Auditorium still existed. It was like decaying, yeah, because it was left abandoned, even though it was declared a historical landmark. But again, welcome to Los Angeles. So they like created the Pan Pacific Auditorium like facade entrance, right? And like within the same year, or it was like a year apart or something, the actual Pan Pacific Auditorium burned down and like got destroyed in a fire. And it's like trippy to think about, because when they created the one in Hollywood Studios, like that still existed, you know? So the Pan Pacific Auditorium was an incredible example of streamlined modern architecture in Los Angeles. Let me tell you a little bit about it, because I have posted about it a lot of times. And when you see like footage or videos of the fire that destroyed it, it's really heartbreaking. The Pan Pacific Auditorium was built in 1935 on Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles, and it was a beautiful representation of streamlined modern architecture. The auditorium was declared a historical landmark in 1978. But although this beautiful building was a landmark, it had been abandoned, left to decay. It was destroyed in a fire in 1989. Today, the site is now Pan Pacific Park, and they have little nods to the past. They recreated one of the towers at a much smaller scale. And when you go to the park on Beverly Boulevard, you'll see it there. Both entrances for Disney's Hollywood Studios and California Adventure are inspired by the Pan Pacific Auditorium. Xanadu was released in 1980, giving Pan Pacific Auditorium the spotlight. The music video for She's My Girl by The Babies features the auditorium, and so does the music video for She Shelia by the producers. Scenes from Ghost Warrior were filmed here, showing the decayed auditorium's exterior and interior. But yeah, I was just reading off a little thread I had created, but it was a very beautiful piece of Los Angeles, and it really was a great representation of our city too, but I guess it still is a great representation of our city because it shows what keeps happening to our city. We had these beautiful buildings, they're left to decay, and they eventually get destroyed or demolished. And the only way we can sort of like relive it if it's like recreated in a false reality, I guess. Okay, back to Hollywood Studios. The entrance of it is inspired by Pan Pacific Auditorium. And what's fun is like they put neon all around the entrance. Ooh, it's like Pan Pacific Auditorium if it had neon. And it looks really beautiful at night. The one in California Adventure doesn't have neon, so I like that there's like a version with and without neon. The original didn't have neon. But I love that building. I actually have screen printed shirts on my website of the Pan Pacific Auditorium. I created like a little design of the facade, and it's screen printed on a t-shirt, and the print has four different colors, and it's available on my website, merchmotel.com. You can use code radio to get 15% off. It's really cute, and people tell me that they always wear it like when they go to the parks and stuff, which I'm like, that is cute, because like the park's facade is inspired by the Pan Pacific Auditorium too. So like, cute photo ops, guys, if you guys buy the shirt and you go there. And let me know if you do. So I was at Hollywood Studios all night, like geeking out. And then I went to my hotel and I was geeking out even more, taking more photos of the hotel. And then we went upstairs to the bowling alley that they have. And inside of the bowling alley, there's a framed picture of a vintage bowling sign that I absolutely love. And of course, it no longer is standing tall in its original location, but it was rescued by the Valley Relics Museum and they have it on display there, and they restored the neon and it's really beautiful. So they had a picture of that and I was like, whoa, and I took a photo. But the bowling alley is really cute. So the next day, I went to Celebration, Florida, and it's a really cute city in Florida. I think it was created by the Walt Disney Company. It always confuses me, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. I went back to Hollywood Studios to get more photos during the daytime of like the facades and stuff. And I really liked like the vintage toys and things they had in the little One Man's Dream exhibit slash museum, I guess. Later on, we took the Skyliner, it was my first time riding it, to Epcot and got to see all the new lights on the ball. After Epcot, I went back to Cabana Bay, my hotel. And then the next morning, I went to Universal Studios. I told my friends, like, okay, listen, there's so many references, like, in Universal Studios about Los Angeles. So I was like, I need to just go there for, like, 1 or 2 hours alone to, like, really absorb it all in. Because I know I'm going to be, like, all over the place wanting to take photos and, like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, of course. So I went alone. And let me tell you, when I was, like, it was like an out-of-body experience, as dramatic as that is, because I was like, wow, I was so like happy and so sad. It made me so sad because I was like, this is the Los Angeles we could have had. It was tripping me out because Universal Studios, like the little Hollywood section, they did an incredible job recreating like these landmarks. And obviously it's like done a little differently than the original, but like it was just like the fact that like we have to fly across the country and enter a theme park to experience what Los Angeles was, like to see like what we could have had. Los Angeles now is beautiful. I love Los Angeles, and like we still have so many incredible historical sites and places, and it's so important to like support these businesses that are still around. But it was just like crazy to me because I'm like, wow, like a lot of the facades and stuff we still have, but I was just like, whoa, like seeing like these buildings, like for example like the Ralph's building that I really want to go and see because like Ralph's, but just like seeing how it was sort of, even though it's not real and it's like a recreation and it's like obviously a theme park, but I was like, the fact that like, because it's based off a real building in Ralph's, which I'll get into, but the fact that like everything was like this and we have to like go to a theme park to see what our city had because our city keeps destroying itself. So in Universal Studios in Orlando, one small section was a throwback to Los Angeles and Hollywood, and they had a recreations of so many iconic places, and they did such an incredible job, and I was just so happy to be there. So many of these places were just a facade. They actually had a facade of Ciro's, and they had the signage too, and it was really cute. If you don't know, Ciro's was like an iconic old Hollywood nightclub, and it was on the old Sunset Strip, and it was very popular among celebrities as well. One of the storefronts that I was really excited to see is that they had like a recreation of the Brown Derby, and it was the one that was located on Wilshire Boulevard, which is the one that's shaped like a hat. They had the little Brown Derby neon signage on top, and the building was actually shaped like the Brown Derby hat. I was so, so happy. Seeing it, I got so sad. I was like, the fact that like I'm in a theme park and I'm like, oh, it's Los Angeles. And I was sort of like emotional about it. And it's crazy because it's not even the real thing. I was just like, this is the closest I can come to like seeing the Brown Derby. And it's actually a hat shop. Like they sold hats there because the building is shaped like a hat. And I like that they did that. It wasn't just like a facade that you can't enter, but it was closed while I was there. So I don't know. I hope they continue to keep it as a hat shop. But I love that they did that. And I was so excited to see it. They even had like the Walk of Fame, like the stars on the ground, and they had Lucille Ball's star. I think it was near the Brown Derby, and like she has that iconic episode at the Brown Derby, so it was cute that that was close by. But again, like they just had a really great recreations of these facades, like those little Beverly Hills sign and these historic buildings. They had the Beverly Wilshire Hotel facade recreated, and they also had the Max Factor Hollywood building recreated. And what I like that they did is that the window displays there, they actually had some makeup displayed in the window displays, and it said Max Factor Hollywood. But it was so cute to just walk by, like you see the Brown Derby, you see the Max Factor, you see Ciro's nightclub, and it's all right next to each other. I was just so happy. I want to say I was in that little portion for just 2 hours, just like looking at everything. But what I love that Universal Studios did is that each building had a little plaque on it, and it said what each building is, and it also said which architect designed it and the year that it was built slash erected in Los Angeles. You're actually learning as you're seeing these facades, and I was a happy person. Schwab's Pharmacy was another iconic location on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood, and of course it was demolished. In the 1930s to 50s, like, famous Hollywood actors would hang out there because it was old Hollywood, and Schwab's Pharmacy sort of became this like iconic area in old Hollywood. And it got demolished in, I think it was the 80s. And in one of my previous episodes, I talk about Googie's Coffee Shop, which is where Googie architecture got its name from. And that was located right next to Schwab's Pharmacy. They were like neighbors. And of course, both of these like historic pieces of Los Angeles aren't here anymore. The pharmacy also had lunch and dessert. Back in the day, a lot of pharmacies had like soda fountains inside. Fair Oaks Pharmacy and Soda Fountain in South Pasadena is a great example of that. And they're over 100 years old and they're still here today. I absolutely adore them. You guys should all go and check them out if you can. They are still a pharmacy and still a soda fountain. I don't know where the original Schwab's Pharmacy neon sign is. I believe it was auctioned off and I don't know where it is today. I would love to see it someday. It's just sad how much charm we've lost in our cities. And it's like places that are iconic. Like, okay, back to Universal Studios. They had the Hotel Beverly Wilshire. And right next to that was Ralph's. So Ralph's grocery stores in Los Angeles were really like beautiful and ornate. And I wasn't sure exactly which location this was based off of. I thought at first it was the one that was on Miracle Mile, but it wasn't. And that one was also destroyed. Shocker. But the location that this is based off of was the one on Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood. And of course, this one was also demolished. But what I like that Universal Studios did is that like even the window displays had real neon signs advertising like pastries and wine and cheese. And I was wondering, like, I wonder, like, did they get the original blueprints of this building to sort of recreate it? Because there aren't a lot of photos of it online that I could find. I'm just curious, like, how that design process went. And then right across Ralph's was the Dark Room. So Hollywood Studios had a recreation of the Dark Room, and so did Universal Studios. And the one that was in Universal Studios, I want to say, was more accurate to the original location, but the one in Hollywood Studios had real neon signage. But so they're both really cool in their own ways. But what was really great about this Dark Room in Universal Studios is that it was actually like a photo studio that you can go in and take photos. And the facade of the giant camera had window displays. And the real one in Los Angeles had window displays within the huge camera. So I really like that they did that. And the window displays had like old cameras and stuff. But this one also had like the little neon sign that said like world famous photo finishing. It was just really fun and like cute to see it all. And I wore my sweatshirt with the graphic that I designed inspired by the Dark Room, and I took a photo in front of it. Oh, did I even mention that before? So I worked on sweatshirts and t-shirts that are screen printed inspired by the facade of the Dark Room that was on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And the t-shirts are printed on the front and back. On the front, it just says the Dark Room on the left chest area, and the back is like a full print. The t-shirts are black and the sweatshirts are white, and the sweatshirts just have like a full frontal pic of the Dark Room store facade. I really love how they came out. They're super cute. So you guys can even wear that too when you're at the parks, because it's like a nod to Los Angeles. So I have my Pan Pacific Auditorium shirts and my Dark Room shirts and sweatshirt. If you're interested, you can use code RADIO for 15% off. Okay, I'm done plugging the merch. And then you continue walking, there's more like cute little nods to Los Angeles. And like when you reach the end of the street and look back, it's like all the really beautiful facades all lined up next to each other. And that's when I got like really sad. I'm like smiling as I say that because I'm like, this is so dramatic, but it's true. Like, I was just like, wow, this was Los Angeles. Like, this is what we could have had. And like, at one point, this is what we had. And we just continue to see it disappear year after year. At this point, it's like month after month. Actually, it feels like week after week. Like, every week, it feels like there's news that something is going to disappear. And it's like, how much more can we lose? Like, how do these people not realize? Oh my God. Okay. Then they have like a recreation of the Pantages Theater, which is sick. They have like the marquee and the neon sign, and it says Pantages, and it was like a horror makeup show. I didn't go inside and look at the show, but I think you go inside, there was like some displays, and then it's a show about like makeup and horror films, I believe. I'm not too sure. So what I really liked about the way they did their Los Angeles setup, like I mentioned earlier, is like they actually functioned as what the facades were. Not all of them, because like you couldn't enter all of them, but like the Dark Room was a photo studio. The Brown Derby was a hat shop. It wasn't a restaurant, but it was a hat shop. And the Pantages Theater had a show. But even like the door entrances, it's like really well done. It's like pretty accurate to the doors at the Pantages Theater, because like I walk there often and take photos. I want to post some comparison photos of the one at Universal and the one in Hollywood. They also had a Mel's Drive-In, which I thought was really cute, and they had classic cars parked outside of it. I really loved the street lights that they had at Universal Studios. They were really, really cute, and they make little sounds and like says go, stop, really lovely. They had the Hollywood Hotel and then a little plaque like describing what it is. So I was like rushing, taking photos of everything alone before I met up with my friends, because I knew if I like saw all this stuff with them, I was gonna be like so overwhelmed. They even had a little like antique store at Universal. I was like, that's awesome that you can buy like antiques here. I wasn't there at night because I had my flight back, so I didn't get to see like the neon at night. I took my flight back, got home, and then had to work the next day. And then a couple days ago, I went to the actual site of the Brown Derby in Los Angeles and the dark room, and seeing the Brown Derby at the state that it's in and what's happened to it, and like it's just, oh my god, it's so like, it makes me very sad, and like it's almost unbelievable what's happened to it. It's like, how the hell did this happen? I mean, it makes sense, like developers don't care, but damn. And then the dark room, it's just like the camera and like the glass blocks and stuff are still there, which is really nice. It's interesting. I feel like if I had the option to like have a business in one of these like historic iconic Los Angeles landmarks, I would have it like sort of match the theme of the building it's in, because it's so iconic. But that's another topic. But yeah, wow, I really love Los Angeles. What are we gonna do about this? Didn't really go into full detail about everything, but yeah, I was really overwhelmed in a good way, and I was just happy to be there. It was just really exciting. If you've never been, if you're like a Los Angeles nerd and you haven't been to Los Angeles, literally go to Los Angeles. But like if you're like me and you live in Los Angeles and you really love like LA history and architecture, I really recommend you go to like honestly Hollywood Studios and Universal Studios. I know they're theme parks, but like it's just really incredible to see like how they sort of like recreated old Los Angeles. And like I didn't really ride any rides or attractions and stuff, like a couple of them, but like I went really just to see the facades, and it made me so happy. I had like an incredible time, and yeah, like I don't know, it's just fun to do. Like it was just really fun for me. My whole trip was very retro themed because I stayed at Cabana Bay, the mid-century inspired hotel, and then like I mainly went to like Hollywood Studios and Universal Studios, and like stayed in like the Los Angeles themed areas. So I just had a really good, fun, nerdy time. And now I'm back in LA, and last night I explored my beautiful city. Well, what's left in my beautiful city. Oh yeah, this is what I was saying. Like if you're an LA geek and you live in LA or whatever, I recommend going there. And if you're listening to this and you like live in Florida or Orlando and you go to the theme parks there, I really recommend you come to LA. And like if you haven't been, you know, and if you have been, come back. And like, because some people didn't know, like for example, the darkroom camera shop in the parks is inspired by a real place, or they didn't know and like maybe you don't know it's still around, and some of these places are still around. So like honestly, you can hit me up on like Instagram or whatever, and like I'll give you recommendations or tell you where places are, because I really want people to come to Los Angeles and go to these historic places and really appreciate it and like post about it, get more people to like it and to learn about it, to love it, you know, because the more people, this is lame, but like I don't know, but one of my goals with my brand was to sort of get more people to really appreciate and love these places that we do have and learn about the importance of preservation of like our architecture, like these buildings, these sites, these places. It's like it's the culture of our city, and it keeps disappearing and keeps getting destroyed, and it's really, really frustrating because people with a lot of money come, buy this property, destroy buildings, don't care. And then, you know, there are some people, Pig and Whistle is a great example, where you're trying to like advocate and try to save this place, but the owner doesn't seem to care and is sort of making a mockery of the public's outcry of what's happening at this historic site. I don't know how to say this. It's like the more people start to love a place or a thing, right, it becomes almost quote-unquote trendy. Like I don't know, I don't really like that word, but that's a good way to describe it. And when something becomes trendy, it becomes like popular, right? And then bigger companies see it and like are like, oh, this is really popular, let's reference this, let's do something about it, and it gets more and more popular. So the more people that start to enjoy it, it'll start more conversations, and maybe that conversation can happen with the right person who has the right amount of like connections, money, whatever it is, and they, you know, that can actually cause a great change to happen to save or preserve a historic place. So I think it's really important to try to educate people and to try to get people interested in preservation. But yeah, like come to LA, come check out our beautiful sites. The city needs to understand that like people care and love these places that attract attracts tourism. Like, come on. Oh my God. On another note, if you want to experience some parts of Los Angeles that are no longer here, and if you can go to these Orlando theme parks, which is pretty, it's just crazy. Like, you have to go to a theme park across the country to like experience or get like a little, just to get like an idea of what the experience could have been back in the day, right? I don't know. I'm just going on and on, not making sense, but thank you for listening. And yeah, if you end up going to the theme parks, let me know. And if you end up coming to Los Angeles, let me know. And oh, one more thing, the Starlight Drive-In. Oh my God. Okay, this is like incredible news. Okay, good. I'm gonna end this with some fun, nice news, because it's always like, this got destroyed, we lost this, but I'll end it on a good note. So there's a huge neon sign that is the Starlight Drive-In, and it's like deteriorating. It's really cute. I always drive by it like when I'm in that area, but the last thing that property was used for was like a swap meet, because it's not a drive-in anymore, but the sign survived all these years. The sign is from the 1950s, and it just like sat there surviving all these years. Months ago, I drove by it, and the sign looked like it was in horrible condition. Like, it straight up was falling apart. So I got really nervous. So I parked my car and I went up to it, and the gate to like where the sign is was just open. I was like, okay. So like, I go up to close to the sign, I took photos, and I was like, yikes, this sign looks like it's falling apart. Like, it was falling apart, but I was like, I don't know how much longer this is gonna last, because it's not being like taken care of. The property it's on, I think, is like for sale or lease. Obviously, that means whoever buys the property or ends up owning the property can choose what to do with the sign, which often case is destroying it. But so many people had been trying to get a hold of like the owners. So I took photos of the sign and I posted it, because I was stressed out, and I was like, guys, it looks like the sign is really like not gonna last. I'm really nervous. I don't know what's gonna happen. And then I saw that there are plans to restore this sign. Are you kidding me? That's amazing. I was shocked, because okay, pretty much what's gonna happen is they're gonna build like housing or whatever on the property. The sign, they're planning on restoring the sign and keeping it there and like lighting it up again. And like, going back to my then and now series that I was saying how I would take photos of like old photos in like Los Angeles County or surrounding cities, and then photos of what it looked like today, the Starlight Drive-In was one of the signs that I did that of. There are like no photos of that signage from back in the day that I could find, and I found like one that was like really cool, and it had all these like sparkles on it that were painted, and I think they lit up. I can't really tell. I'm pretty sure they did. It was probably neon, or maybe it was just painted, I don't know, but it was really beautiful. And today it just has like Starlight, and it's like there are no additional sparkles on the sign, you know. It's like really, really like not in a good shape. Yeah, so the rendering has like the stars back on it. I'm like, this is really exciting and cool. Like, I'm so happy. What, this like does not happen anymore. It still does, but it's so rare for this to happen. So hopefully, I'm hoping they go with neon, not LED, because LED is ugly, baby. But neon, original beautiful neon, please, that incredible glow. Can you imagine? I'm so excited to drive by and see the sign again. Like, I cannot believe they're restoring it. And I hope it's neon, not LED. Please, not LED. But wow. Yeah, I'm really happy. And last year, I actually created like a design with the Starlight Drive-In, and I was gonna create products of it, and I just never got around to doing it. And now I'm like, okay, I think I wanna do it, because like, it's coming back, baby. I'm really excited about it. So that's a great note to end it off, right? Some good news. You can get dark room shirts and sweatshirts on my website, Pan Pacific Auditorium shirts, and other cool, cute, fun things. Okay, thanks for tuning in to Merch Motel Radio, and I'm also planning on working on some exciting new projects. Okay, thanks for listening, guys. Okay.